Translation and pulpit by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees, which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. Purport. Jana jivya druma kirnam. Trees and vegetables are essential and they give happiness all year round in all seasons. That is the arrangement in Vrindavan. It is not that in one season the trees are pleasing and in another season not pleasing. Rather, they are equally pleasing throughout the seasonal changes. Trees and vegetables provide the real means of livelihood recommended for everyone. Sarva kama dugha mahi. Trees and vegetables, not industry, provide the real means of life. Om ajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri garave namaham shri chaitanya manobhishtang stapitam yena bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacham Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sapadyeva Bita Pashyan Diso Pashyat Purastitam Vrindavanam Jana Jivya Druma Kirnam Samapriyam. Then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees, which were means of livelihood for the inhabitants, and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas present here. I'm actually not qualified to speak in their presence. We have Gauranga Prabhu and Sutapa Prabhu, Navadip Prabhu and others who are all here. But somehow or other, I have been given this opportunity today to speak. So please bless me so that I can say something that is of value for myself and for all of you. We've been hearing about the pastime of Lord Brahma's bewilderment. And we saw how Lord Brahma, he was witnessing the pastimes of the Lord from the skies. And he happened to see how the Lord was taking remnants of food from his friends. And he was thinking, how can this be the Lord? It's not possible. So he decided to test. And we heard how he stole all the cows first, and as when the Lord went looking for the cows, he stole the boys as well. Right. And by the time the Lord came back, he realized what had happened. Of course, he had known from before that Lord Brahma was going to steal the cows. The Acharyas, they described that actually they were three sets of cows and cowherd boys that were created. One was the original one that had always been there. They just became unmanifest or invisible. And then there was a set that Lord Brahma stole. And the third one was the Lord himself in all those various forms. So we've been hearing all this, and as Lord Brahma, he returned after his moment, which was 1 year on earth, he saw that the same scene he was witnessing from the sky a moment ago was repeating. So he was wondering, how is this? I thought I had taken the cows and the boys, but they're still here. And we heard how then the Lord gave a very unique vision to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma saw how all those calves and boys, they transformed into the forms of Lord Vishnu. And he was utterly bewildered. And as he could not see, we read in the previous verse that he just became completely lost. Therefore, this Leela is called Brahma Vimohan Leela, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. In today's verse, Lord Brahma finally came out of his stupor, right, and he saw Vrindavan in front of him, which was full of trees. Vrindavan represents the ideal civilization. In the Vedic society, everything was based on an agrarian economy. That means everyone lived off the land. And they were dependent on the products that the land gave forth. We see there have been many stages as coming to the present day and age, how civilization changed from an agrarian based economy to nowadays it's information based. We had the industrial age revolution where there was so much emphasis on industry, and now even the industrial revolution is gone and we find the information technology revolution has come, and now everything is based on information rather than depending on what the Vedic civilization was showcasing, because that's where all our real needs come from. Even the electricity that is needed to produce the information and to rely on information, it's generated from the land. So in today's day and age, everyone is so dependent on information. I'm hearing that nowadays everyone is online. Yeah. Even while sleeping, they're online, right? Because they have these sleep monitors that monitor their vital functions and things like that. And then they're able to know how long they slept, how much the deep sleep was, and you know, they're able to analyze their sleep very nicely. So everyone is hooked up, right? And people can't imagine, especially the younger generation, they can't imagine a world without internet. There's even a specific term that they use, you know, when people are disconnected from the internet for an extended period of time, they go crazy. They don't know what to do. Yeah. And coming from where I come from, we don't have so much things like GPS and all that. You know, if you want to get to a place, you better know it yourself, or you get someone who knows where the place is and then you go with them. Right? But here I see everyone's using, you know, sat nav and GPS and all these. So imagine a world without GPS, and people will not be able to go anywhere, right? But we find that the Vedic civilization, it was showcasing how man can have all his needs fulfilled simply by depending upon the land. The land produces everything that is necessary. Food, clothing, shelter, which was the basic necessities of life. Now, we may have the most sophisticated information technology, but that information technology cannot build up a house. Even the plastic that everyone uses so much these days, that plastic is coming from the land. So even today, despite of we thinking we don't depend on the land. We are actually depending so much on the land. The petrol, the plastics, all these things that are required in today's civilization, they're all coming from land. And therefore, the Vrindavan civilization, the Vrindavan scene where Lord Krishna is, he is actually, we were hearing that Lord Krishna, he comes to this world to attract all of us to go back to the spiritual world. And what's in the spiritual world? It's land and trees and cows. There are no factories there. There are no computers there. No mobile phones. Therefore, he's showing what is the ideal. What is actually necessary for us, what we require. And when there is a ruler or a king who follows the Varnashram principles, who follows the principles as outlined by the Vedas, then the land produces so much. We find in the history of the Bhagavatam, after Maharaj Anga, he left a son called King Vena. And Vena was such a tyrant, it's mentioned that when he used to play in his childhood with his friends, he would actually kill them while playing. He would bully them and then snap their necks. He was very cruel. And he got to a point where he was telling the Brahmanas, "Why are you worshipping the Lord? I am the Lord." Naranam cha naradipam, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that amongst human beings, he is represented by the king. And so King Vena took this literally, and he was saying, well, you know, your own scriptures, he was telling the Brahmanas, your own scriptures are saying that the king is a representative of the Lord. But I am that. So you worship me. Forget about offering of oblations and sacrifices to the Lord. You should do them in my name. And so the Brahmanas, then they got rid of him by chanting mantras. Because what had happened is that due to his cruelty and everything, the earth had completely stopped supplying anything. So when we hear how the Brahmanas then churned Maharaj Vena's body and Prithu Maharaj appeared. Well, initially there was first a small black creature that came out. He was called Nishada. And then after that, they churned it one more time and Prithu Maharaj came out. And then all the citizens, they approached Prithu Maharaj and they said that we are all starving. There is no food. The earth has stopped producing. But when Prithu Maharaj, being the representation of the Lord, he chastised the earth, and fearing his chastisement, then the earth started producing everything. So when it comes to leadership, Prithu Maharaj is one of the ideals to be followed, because he provided for his citizens. So when a king is obedient to the laws of the Lord, when he is trying to rule according to the Vedas, then the earth automatically produces everything that is necessary. But as soon as the society goes against these principles, then, as you know, we know in Africa, the world's largest desert is there, Sahara. Half of Africa is desert. Half of Australia is desert. And in Asia also they have big deserts, Gobi Desert in China. As soon as the civilization goes against these, then the earth stops producing. We don't hear about deserts in Vrindavan. We don't hear about arid and semi-arid land in Vrindavan. But these days we see, there's so much. Because the king is not, or those who are in ruling, and those who are trying to lead society, they're not leading them in the right direction. And therefore there's scarcity of resources. A long time ago, I heard in London, there's nothing like fresh drinking water. I don't know if that's true. But I heard that you can't get fresh drinking water. It's all recycled and purified and repurified. And it's not easily accessible. Right? So many places, something simple as water, air, we can't get. Non-GMO food or organic food, so expensive. Yeah. We see there's so much scarcity because the whole world, the whole civilization is running in the wrong direction. Therefore, we're reading this Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, we see, is full of descriptions of saintly kings. Yudhishthir Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Maharaj Prithu, Lord Ram. As mentioned in Yudhishthir Maharaj's reign, there were regular rainfalls. Everything was being produced by the land. There was no scarcity of anything. Yeah. We find even clothing these days is so difficult. To get 100% cotton cloth, you have to go so far. Nowadays people wear polyester and nylon and acrylic and all these synthetic materials. But when Maharaj Yudhishthir was ruling, everything was in abundance. There was no scarcity. So when the king is, or when the leaders of society, when they are righteous and when they are following the principles of the Vedas, then Srila Prabhupada often said, there's a Bengali proverb, Yadi Varshe Maghera Shesh. If it rains at the end of the month of Magh, then one should understand that the king is saintly. In Africa, there are so many droughts every now and then because the leadership is not up to par in terms of leading people towards what life is all about. But we find in Vrindavan, all the residents are fully Krishna conscious. And therefore, Vrindavan itself, the dham, there is no scarcity. There are wish-fulfilling trees there. They give everything. They're wish-fulfilling cows as well. They give everything. And on earth, exemplified by these great saintly kings, through their rule, by engaging everyone according to their occupational duty, then the land also produces everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Anad bhavati parjanya parjanyad anasambhava. Yagyat bhavati parjanya yagya karma samudbhava. The land, for it to produce, it has to be fertile. And this fertility comes when there is ample rainfall. The rains are needed to produce the grains, which we all eat. Many, many times we've heard Srila Prabhupada saying, we can't eat nuts and bolts. Nowadays, nuts and bolts are even scarce. We can't eat plastic. Everything is plastic. Even the screws are plastic. Right? So we can't eat plastic. Therefore, the kings or the leaders, they used to ensure, because where does rain come from? Rain comes from yagya. Yagya karma samudbhava. Comes from engaging in our occupational duties. We find with Maharaj Parikshit, he went out on a world tour. And on the tour he was seeing this very aspect. Is everyone engaged according to their particular occupational duties? And as he was touring his kingdom, he came across a black man dressed in the garb of a king committing atrocities onto a bull and a cow. And he said, how can this be? A king is supposed to give protection. So immediately he took out his sword to chastise this personality. The kings, that was their responsibility, to ensure that everyone is engaged according to their constitutional position. In the Ekadashi Mahatmya, there is one story where in a particular kingdom, I don't remember the name, there was no rainfall for 3 years. And everyone was very, very disturbed. And so they went to the king and they said, look, you have to do something. And so the king, he went to, I think it was Lomasa Muni, and he asked, you know, why is there no rainfall in my kingdom? And then the Muni, because he could see past, present and future, he mentioned, well, there is a Sudra in your kingdom who's reading the Shastras. So that's why, you know, you're not getting any rain. That's how fine-tuned it was in the Vedic civilization. Anyone not acting according to his particular occupational duties, they would have far-reaching repercussions. And then we hear the king telling the Muni that, well, I can't, he's reading the Shastra. So you have to tell me of another solution to this problem. And then that's when he recommended, okay, you follow the vow of Ekadashi, and in this way then, you know, rainfall will come. So this was the duty of the leaders. They were always saying, we see with Parikshit Maharaj, he chastised Kali because a king is meant to give protection to his dependents. And this person dressed as a king was not acting like a king, and therefore he was subjected to Parikshit Maharaj's wrath. Lord Krishna, he has created a system by which everyone can live peacefully and get everything that they need from the land. And this system is called the Varnashram system. Chaturvanyam Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. According to a particular mode and according to a particular activity, a person is classified in a particular Varna. As either a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Sudra. Because there are four goals of life as prescribed in the Vedas, the four Purusharthas. Dharma. Dharma means to act according to one's occupational duty. And this is what the leadership would check. Are they doing their dharma? Are the brahmanas teaching the shastra and just dependent upon the Lord? The kings, the leaderships, they would provide livelihood for the brahmanas. Brahmanas did not need to go and work. And in turn, they would self-govern themselves by seeking counsel of the brahmanas, that how should we rule and how should we engage everyone in their occupational duties. But they weren't just engaging in their occupational duties. The saintly kings that we read about in the Bhagavatam, they were going a step further. They were engaging everyone in their eternal constitutional duty. So they were matching their occupational duties with their constitutional duties and seeing how can we steer our kingdom and everyone in it to become devotees of the Lord. Therefore, we're reading about them in the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, there are so many great kings in the past, but they don't appear in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Because they may have just been doing, ensuring that everyone is engaged accordingly, but those who went a step beyond and ensured that everyone is progressing on their spiritual path, they are the ones mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So leadership, according to Bhagavatam, means to cater for both the occupational duty, everyone should be rightly engaged. Those who are brahminically inclined, they should not have the stress of going to work and trying to find how they will sustain themselves. But they were sustained by the state, and the state was ensuring that they are given that freedom to do what brahmanas do. Teach the Vedas and serve and guide society in that way. The Kshatriyas, they would self-govern themselves with the counsel of the Brahmanas. The Vaishyas, they were tasked with producing the necessities of life in terms of grains, milk, cloth, and these things. And the Shudras would help everyone, help the other ashrams in doing their duty. Yeah. So that dharma, the artha, second goal, was based on getting livelihood from the land. To fulfill the third goal, kama, sense gratification. But this sense gratification was according to regulative principles. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman ki jai, Shishi Kunitai ki jai. It was according to regulative principles. People, the society, they would live responsible lives. Nowadays, people don't live responsible lives. It's gone from before a few years ago, maybe 50, 60 years ago, people would still think, oh, in this present life, we have to live responsibly. Nowadays, people don't live responsibly even in the present life. Like, let's do whatever we want today, who has seen tomorrow? Why waste today for getting something tomorrow? This is what people think. And previously, you know, 5 decades ago, people would think, okay, why waste this present life for the next life? Who knows what happens after death and all these things? Why should we be bothered? But they don't know that the soul is eternal. That it just passes into another body at the time of death. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyati. So we see this is on a micro level and also on a macro level. People with their own lives out there, they not living responsibly even for the next, you know, not even thinking about the next 5 years. They just do whatever they want to do today. Forget about tomorrow. And on a macro level, we see the leadership, the nations, they're not thinking, oh, we are exploiting the land so much. What will happen in the future? 50 years down the line, there'll be no food for anyone to eat. Yeah. We're pumping so many chemicals into the land. I mean, Gauranga Prabhu's here, and he runs a very, very wonderful project in Govardhan Eco Village. And they grow vegetables organically there. No chemicals. But the others, they pump in so many chemicals. They don't think, how long will it take for the land to absorb all these chemicals and nullify them to give out good produce again. So even on a macro level, people are not, the societies and the nations and those in leadership, they're not living responsibly. They're pumping so much waste into the oceans. It's mentioned, actually, there's more pollution in the ocean than there is on land. And people have found floating islands of plastic in the ocean. And they've also done further research and seen that when fish eat this plastic, because plastic is not biodegradable, and it just disintegrates into really, really small, small pieces. You can't see them with the eye, but they're there. And when fish eat these, and when people eat the fish, then everyone gets cancer and other sorts of diseases. So people are not living responsibly. We can see. But in the Vedic civilization, those who were in leadership, those who were in charge of society, they were responsible to make sure people are living responsibly. That was entrusted to them. And how would they do that? They would follow what the Vedic principles are in consultation with the Brahmanas. The earth has lasted for so many years. But the rate we are going, we're destroying everything. They'll have to, you know, we are being the modern day Venas. King Vena, he completely stopped all the production. We're going in that direction. Simply because society, nations, individual persons, they don't understand that there is life after this body. We're not this body. And whatever we require for this body, it comes from land. We don't need to do a whole lot of other artificial things to keep the body in shape. In the Vedic civilization, they used to go and work in the fields. They never had gyms to go to. But because now we have removed that part, everyone has to do some gym, you know, or sports, cycling, hiking, doing this and that. Because we've shifted our focus from the agrarian civilization to sitting behind the desk, behind a screen, and, you know, making our livelihood in that way. Yeah. But we require all these things we require. Agnir Mahir Gagana Mambu Marud Dishascha Brahma Samhita. We require the earth, we require fire, we require air, we require water, we require all these things. And where do they come from? Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham mano budhire vacha ahankara ityame bhina prakritir astada. These are Lord Krishna's energies. He is the source. And if we please him, then obviously his energies will be in full supply. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, we can feed the whole world. Come, stay with us. Simply chant and dance and engage in devotional service. But we become skeptical. People become skeptical. Oh, how is that? We see even in the history of ISKCON, I'm sure there are many devotees around here who can tell us more. People used to go on the streets and the devotees are chanting and dancing and the people on the streets would be like, get a job. How are you guys chanting and dancing so nicely and eating? And where is all this coming from? And we have to slog from morning to evening just to get a morsel of food. That's the hint. That if we keep Krishna, then, and the earth is pleased with devotees, she'll produce everything. But those who are not engaging in their proper dharma and they're not engaging in devotional service, for them life becomes so much difficult. You see, people become so dull-headed that they're busy making so many farms, beef farms, but they don't understand what do the cows eat and where does that come from. The cows eat grain and that grain comes from land. So instead of thinking, why don't we eat what we grow, instead of growing it and feeding it to the cow and then letting the cow process it and then finally, you know, it ends up on the table after you've cut the cow. They were doing a study on greenhouse gases and they said one of the worst producers of this greenhouse gas, this that destroys the ozone layer, are these beef farms. So much water goes, so much food goes in producing and feeding for the cows. But that same water and food can be fed to human beings. Again, irresponsibility. Yeah. For the sake of the tongue, people are willing to squander so many liters of water and so many liters of, so much grain. But they don't understand that actually the land can fulfill all our things. Therefore, one of ISKCON's purpose is to show a simpler, more natural way of life. There is no need of all these sophisticated machinery and all these beef farms and all these things. No, we can live simply from the land. And as is shown in successful projects like Eco Village, Govardhan Eco Village in Wara, and there's so many other farms in India also doing that. And we see here the Eco Village in Hungary is also doing that. It can be done. The simpler, more natural way of life is to depend on the land and the cows. And in this way then we can show the entire society what it means to become happy. Because we may have all the money in the world, but if we have no food to eat, if the money can't buy good food to eat, then what's the point? Or if we're spending all that money in trying to fix our bodies because, you know, we have cancer or we have some other disease that came from eating all this non-organic food, processed foods and diabetes and so many things that are associated with this artificial living. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted that this Bhagavatam is given to all the leaders of society. Because when they read the Bhagavatam, they can understand that we have to go back to the land. And we have to steer the entire society in this direction, that they depend on the land and at the same time they advance in their spiritual life, keeping Krishna in the center. We all have that mission to make sure that the pages of the Bhagavatam, they land in the hands of those responsible in steering the society. We want them to steer it towards Krishna and towards simpler, more natural way of living. Hare Krishna, I'll end there. If there are any questions or comments...